We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, and we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. For everyone in this house that is believing God for a family member to turn their heart toward God, lift your hands to Him now. Lift your hands to the Lord right now and begin to pray for that person right now, or persons. Begin to pray for them earnestly right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we have every one of us, we have family members that don't know you, that don't serve you. And we know that their only hope and their only fulfillment is in you. So we hold up our family members before you, Lord. And like Kathy, should we drop dead suddenly right now, our prayer would be that our family would follow us. Our prayer would be that very soon our family would join us. So we pray for our family members, Lord. Now take a moment and call their name if you want to. Pray for them now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you know who's on my heart. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are good, for your mercy endures forever. You are good, for your mercy endures forever. Say with me, we give you thanks, Lord, for you are good, for your mercy endures forever. Extend your mercy to my family members, Lord. Pour out your mercy, Lord, in the behalf of my family members. Pour out your mercy, Lord. Pour out your goodness, Lord. Make them to know your love. Make them to know you are good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to have Bible study tonight, so you're going to need to have your Bible or your device ready, because we're going to look at a number of scriptures. And as I began to pray a couple of months ago about what the Lord would want me to share, I questioned the Lord on several different directions and subjects. And for several days, this scripture continued to come up in my spirit. And like Kenneth says, our lightning fast minds. It only took me a few days to figure out, oh, that's the Lord. Oh, hello. The Lord's talking to me. The Lord's telling me what I'm supposed to share at the family meeting. And so turn in your Bible or on your device to Psalm 112. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and read the whole psalm out of this old King James here. And we're going to go back to some other translations, but just for the fun of it, let's just read it here out of the King James, Psalm 112. And it's not in this Bible. Let's see here. There we go. There, it's on this page. There we go. Psalm 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. That's where the blessing starts, fearing the Lord. Amen. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. That's what we did with Kathy tonight. Verse 7, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. The verses I want us to look at tonight that we will discuss are verses 7 and 8. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. That word fixed in the Old English could be translated and is translated in other translations as steadfast, firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on. The New Living Translation says confident. His heart is confident. The NIV says secure. The New English Translation says his resolve is firm. The Message says in these two verses, unfazed, I like this, unfazed by rumor and gossip. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Unfazed by rumor and gossip, heart ready, trusting in God, spirit firm, unperturbed, ever blessed, relaxed among enemies. Wow. Who is that describing? The person who has their heart fixed, trusting in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Can I share this verse this morning? Well, I guess that was last night when you preached, wasn't it? Anyway, go to James chapter 5. James 5, also verses 7 and 8. James 5, 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. You are aware that the coming of the Lord is very, very near. Amen? Amen. Kenneth touched on it last night. This earth is convulsing under the weight of sin. The earthquakes, the weather patterns, all that's happening, this earth is convulsing under the weight of sin. The Lord is coming very soon. Amen? Amen. Verse 7, James 5. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. That's what we're going to discuss tonight. Establishing our hearts, because what's coming, you better be fixed. You better be fixed. Your heart better be fixed, because, ladies and gentlemen, it's not going to get better. It's not going to get better in the world. If you're thinking, oh, well, this is just a season, it will pass. No, this season is going to last until Jesus comes. Yeah. But this season doesn't get better. It's going to get worse. Men will wax worse and worse, is what the King James says. This world is going to get meaner. Yes. The violence is going to increase. the hatred is going to increase. If you believe the lie that somewhere along the line somebody's going to come along and bring peace, well, that's what, you see, the Antichrist is going to come on the scene and say and do. Bring peace to everybody that hates each other. But you see, it's a false peace. So if you think things are going to get better from here on out, they're not. So what has to change? Our heart. What has to be fixed? Our heart. What has to be established and on the rock? Our heart. Because everything out there is going to get worse. My thing keeps jumping, so I don't know what to do here. Let's see. Where are we? There are some things that are basic foundational things that if you get these things solid in your understanding, solid in your thinking, you will eliminate a lot of confusion in your life. Number one, and this is profound, and get your pencil and paper ready. This is a quote from Dr. Kenneth Hyatt. Make sure that you write this down. You may want to highlight something. Write stars. You may want to arrows. Make sure that you're ready for this one. Write it down.
This is going to be good.
God, good. Devil, bad. Okay, that makes a pretty clear distinction, doesn't it? That's really pretty simple. But if you keep that straight in your head, you won't get confused over what's happening and where it's coming from.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
You'll just avoid a whole lot of confusion. You know, and people say, why is God doing this to me? God's not the one behind it. God's not the one doing this to you. God's not your problem. God's not your enemy. Amen? God's not the one kicking you in the butt. Oh, I wasn't supposed to say butt in church, was I? It's okay. It's okay. God's not the one knocking you down. He didn't make you sick. What's God trying to teach me through this cancer? What did He teach you, Pam? He taught you that cancer is an enemy and you have authority over it.
Right. Amen?
Amen. He wasn't trying to give you a spanking and say, now, Pam, you're going to learn to love me through this. No, you already loved Him, and you had to declare His love and His salvation, which was healing in your body.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
God didn't give her cancer. I've heard Brother Copeland say it how many times. God don't have cancer. He can't give something He doesn't have.
Right.
Amen? Amen. Amen. So say it with me. God.
Good.
Devil.
Bad.
You got it. Yay. Okay. All right. Now, who all has watched Joel Osteen? A few of you. Yeah. How many of you watched his daddy, John?
Yeah.
All right. Joel got this from his daddy. All right. This is one of the best things that you can learn to quote and believe, not just quote it. I need a Bible. Well, here it is in my hand, but I need this one. Hold your Bible up.
iPad.
Hold your, whatever you've got your Bible on, hold it up. Now say it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight I will be taught the Word of God.
So I boldly confess.
My mind is alert.
My
heart is receptive.
I will never be the same.
Never, never,
never.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Get that into your understanding. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am.
Amen.
Not what my mama told me. Not what my daddy told me, not what my sister told me, not what the people at work told me, not what my schoolmates told me. This is who I am. Amen? Amen. Everything comes under the dominion of this. This is who I am. If I operated by what I was told I was, I would not be right here. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. This is my Bible. Say it. This is my Bible. It is what it says I am. Wait, back up. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Amen. Now, then I wrote my own declaration a couple of years ago. Oh, I still need my Bible. Okay. It says, this is my Bible. It's about me. Now, see, one of the biggest problems in the whole world right now is everybody has the attitude, it's about me. Well, isn't everything about me? I thought it was. Most people do. Isn't it about me? Everything? Well, this is. This is. This is. Amen. This is my Bible. It's about me. It is for me. It is to me. As I get into it, there, you already got it. As I get into it, it gets into me. As I read it,
it reads me.
It reads me. I find myself in my Bible. Some of you aren't old enough to remember, but a whole bunch of us are old enough to remember in the 60s. Everybody went somewhere to find themselves. And most of them got hopelessly lost. And never did figure it out. Still looking. I find myself right here. How did Jesus know who he was? Robert got it. How did he, where did he find out who he was and what he was made up of? In the Word. He found out what God said. He found out his identity. If Jesus has to go to the Word of God to find out his identity, don't you think you and I probably have to do the same? Amen? So this is my Bible. It's about me. It's for me. It's to me. As I get into it, it gets into me. As I read it, it reads me. I find myself in my Bible. I find out who I am, what is mine, and what I can do in my Bible. I find my purpose. You wondering what it is? You're looking in the wrong place. Go here. I find my purpose, my meaning, and my path in the Word of God. Now, those things seem rather simple. But if you get that foundational understanding working in your mind, it will eliminate confusion and distinguish for you that you are on a path that God is the shepherd leading you. Amen? Amen. Now, some other foundational truths. These are almost, I won't say insultingly simple, but if you confuse them at any time and you don't remember this at all times, it can cause problems in your walk with God. You do understand God is not catering to your emotions. He doesn't jump when you holler. Right? We are made in the image of God. Go to John chapter 4. The Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John chapter 4, verse 24. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Genesis 1:27. That's really close to the front. Genesis 1:27. It says, so God created man in His image. The NLT says, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. We are made in the image of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 10. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 2. Out of the New King James says, for we are His workmanship. Believe it or not, God worked on you. And He's still working on you. He's still working on us. Amen. Y'all may not remember this little song. This was Nicole, I think, was 4 when she was in the talent contest in San Angelo. And this is what she sang. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. But He's still working on me. He could create everything in 6 days, but it takes our whole lifetime, and He's still working on us. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? What? For good works, which God hath prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The NLT says we are God's masterpiece. I am a masterpiece. And hush, you just... I don't want to hear from you at all. I don't want to hear anything out of you. We are His workmanship. I know what you're thinking, so don't say it.
We are His masterpiece.
So
we are a piece of the master.
Woo! Yeah! We are His masterpiece because we are a piece of the master. Somebody write that down. Put that in quotes and make a poster out of it and say, Dr. Kenneth Hyatt. What?
You're welcome.
We are His masterpiece because we are a piece of the master. Boy, that's good. That's good. Whew. Don't y'all like going to church? I do. Ephesians 2:10 NLT. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the good things He planned for us to do long ago. Before you were ever created, before you were ever born, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, God decided He wanted you and He decided what He wanted to do with you. There's not one of us that got left out of this. Not one of us. You know, Carl, if the only thing you were created to do is make coffee, we like that. But that's not all you're created to do.
That's right.
But we're glad you know how to make coffee. For those of you that don't know, we're not talking about going and putting some grounds in the pot and making coffee. We're talking about developing the coffee grounds. But you know, that's just one creative thing. What we were talking at lunch about you. And talking about you're in a job you never dreamed you would be in. But God is taking your creative side into an area you never, ever even knew existed. Didn't know you could do it. And your boss says, you're better than the professional chemists that are trained to do this. Now tell me that's not God. Tell me that's not God. God gave... That anointing is on Him for that. That's why His coffee's so good. That's why they're going to have contracts with HEB and Walmart and 7-Eleven and who knows who else. Amen? Because God had a plan. God has a plan. And He's working on it. Jeremiah 29:11, you all know it. Say it. something about prosperity and peace, right? I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope, and a
future.
There you go. Hope and a future. So say this after me. I am a spirit.
I don't have a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I have a soul.
My soul is made up of my mind.
My soul is made up of my mind.
My emotions. And my will.
I live in a physical body.
It's my earth suit. When I lose my earth suit, I go be with Jesus. Just like Kathy. It's the earth suit that keeps us here. Right?
Yeah.
And the real you, what was that show? Will the real whatever it was stand? To tell the truth? Y'all remember to tell the truth? Will the real whoever stand up? Well, will the real you stand up? Well, your body has to stand up, but what's the real you is your spirit. Amen? But if we see your body in a casket or an urn, for some people, where did the real you go? If you know the Lord, you went up. Kind of read the scripture yesterday. Or was that this morning we were reading it? Yes, in the study.
Dan and Shasta.
Do you remember the reference for the scripture?
I do. Ecclesiastes
4:7. All right. So when our spirit leaves, we go to be with Jesus because we are a spirit. So say it again. I am a spirit. I don't have a spirit. I am a spirit. I have a soul. I live in a physical body. I don't live by my soul. I'm not dictated to and directed by my thoughts, emotions, or fleshly carnal will. I live by my spirit. By the Holy Spirit that lives in me. I make decisions by my will, by my choice, according to the will of God. I renew my mind by the Word of God. I am transformed in my thinking. I am transformed in my believing. And I am changed in my choosing. Gaining control of my feelings. I live and function according to the will, purpose, and plan of God. Let's say that one again. I live and function according to the will, purpose, and plan of God. My life is no longer mine. Say it again. My life is no longer mine. It's no longer I that lives. But Christ, the anointed one, and His anointing that lives in me. He does the work. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. Look up Galatians 2:20. We're going to read the scripture that comes from. And it says exactly what we just said, but I want you to see it in your Bible. I want you to read it from your Bible. There's something that happens on the inside of you when you see it with the eye and you see it and you read it and you assimilate it into your spirit. Amen? I can stand up here all day long and I can talk to you, and Kenneth can stand up here all day long and he can minister and teach and preach to you. But there's nothing like you getting it yourself. And you looking at the scripture yourself and it coming alive to you in your spirit. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who, say it, and who loved me. Don't you ever let it come out your mouth. I don't know if God loves me. Don't you ever let that. The word says right here, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is the proof of that love? That he gave himself for you. That he gave himself for you. He said, well, he's never proved it in my life. You're alive. You're breathing. You're here. You're right here. You're here tonight in the right place at the right time. Amen? Amen. All right. Now let's look back at our scripture. Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his end. Do you see the undergirding theme there? He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid. I've said it so many times, that have counseled with people so many times. If you deal with the spirit of fear, you will eliminate almost everything you're struggling with. Amen? If you will deal with the spirit of fear, run it off. Get it out of your way. Shut it up. You'll eliminate just a whole lot of struggle. So say this after me. I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. Trusting in the Lord. My heart is established. I will not be afraid. Now, isn't that powerful? You know, when you're going through something, it's real easy to get afraid. When things happen and you have enemies coming against you, when you got stuff going on, that enemy doesn't have to be a person. That enemy could be sickness. That enemy could be financial problems. That enemy could be family problems. The enemy comes in many, many, many different ways. But if we would immediately declare out of our mouth, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. I will not be afraid. My heart is established, trusting in the Lord. How will the tide turn? How will it turn when you choose? What does the book of James say? Says our tongue is like a rudder of a ship. That little tiny rudder will turn a massive ship. You want your life to turn around? Get your rudder going the right way. Amen? Get your rudder going the right way. Decide which way you want it going. No, I don't want to undo my typing. Okay. All right. Go to Psalm 40. And we're going to read starting with verse 1. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. And well, let's just stop right there. Sometimes we just get in too big a hurry. We want God to say something right now. Hurry up, God. Hurry up. I'm in a hurry. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got things to deal with. I'm busy. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit. And everybody said, yes, he did. Out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. What's the new song? Praise. What, some of them old songs we used to sing, you know, All those old, it's not worth repeating. Stop singing them. If it does not feed your spirit, it is sapping the strength out of it. I don't care if it's on Christian radio. I don't care if it's on Christian TV. If it's not strengthening you, it's taking strength from you. Plain and simple. He has put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and I will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. There we are back at blessed. Blessed and trust go hand in hand. Blessed and trust go hand in hand. You want to be blessed of the Lord? Trust Him with all of your heart and not lean to your own understanding. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. And the truth is, that old song we used to sing, the hymn, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. I challenge you. I challenge you. Get you a legal pad. You're going to need it. Get you a legal pad. From the tiniest to the most enormous thing that you can think of that God has done for you, starting with the very breath you breathe, start writing down how God has blessed you and what He has done for you and where He's brought you from. It won't take you long that it'll turn you from the molly grubs into, Lord, you've been so good. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are so good. Lord, you are so merciful. Amen. Many, O Lord, my God, are your wonderful works which you have done, and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Ooh, that's another one. Y'all need to highlight that and write that as a confession. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God. There's another one. And your law is within my heart. Say it. I delight to do your will, O God. Go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 24. Oh, you did find it. You did. Yay, thank you. That's out of the message. Unfazed by rumor and gossip. Heart ready. Trusting in God. Spirit firm. Unperturbed. Ever blessed. Relaxed among enemies. That's out of the message. Psalm 112, 7 and 8. Let's see where we are. Okay. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too lofty for a fool. He does not open his mouth at the gate. Through wisdom, a house is built. We are the house of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go to Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Because, say it, he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Up here on the screen is Isaiah 26, 3 and 4 out of the Amplified. You will guard him and keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Don't you like that? Amen. Let's just read it again just because it's good. You will guard him. Say, that's me. And keep him. Say, that's me. In perfect and constant peace. Say, that's me. Whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Say, that's me. What did we say? This Bible gets in me. I get in it. It gets in me. It tells me who I am. So when you find something you want to be like, claim it. It's yours. Say it. It's me. So we'll start at the top again. You will guard him. That's me. And keep him in perfect and constant peace, whose mind, both its inclination and its character, is stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, leans on you, and hopes confidently in you. So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to him. Lean on him. Hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Amen? How easy is it to assimilate that word into us? To simply say what God's already said. To take it into our spirit. We are a spirit. We don't have a spirit. We are a spirit. We have a soul, and we have the choice to choose to believe this word and identify with it. Amen? Amen. My thing went off. Okay. Go to Matthew chapter 7. It's hot in here. No? It's hot in here. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus is speaking, and he's saying in verse 24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man. You want to be wise? Hear and do. Simple, isn't it? You see, we make the things of God too hard. We try to make this faith walk too hard. I just don't know if I have enough faith. Hear and do. Trusting in the Lord. Hear and do. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Build on the rock by hearing and doing. Amen? Amen. The NLT, let's see if I've got, was that? Nope, it wasn't. NLT, same passage, says, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it is built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. In order for your heart to be fixed and established, trusting in the Lord, you have to know in whom you have believed. You have to know him. Kathy not only knew, but knows him. Amen? I know the Lord, and I continue to know him better and better and better. I thought I knew him 20, 30, 40 years ago. And as much as I think I know him now, I know I don't know him anywhere near like I'm going to, even in a year from now, even in a few months from now, because our relationship continues to grow and increase and mature. God can talk to me on a level now that he couldn't 20 years ago. Why? I've grown a little bit. Is God saying things to you today that you know good and well he couldn't have talked to you about a year ago? Is he dealing with you in ways that 10 years ago you would have kicked, screamed, hollered? Yeah. So that's an indication you're maturing and you're growing, because God can deal with you in ways he couldn't. It may be as recent as last week. Amen? So we're growing. So let's look at this scripture. This is out of the Amplified. It says, this is why I'm suffering as I do. Still, I'm not ashamed. This is Paul. For I know, perceive, have knowledge of, and am acquainted with him whom I have believed, adhered to, and trusted in, and relied on. And I am positively persuaded that he is able to guard and keep that which has been entrusted to me and which I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast and follow the pattern of wholesome and sound teaching which you have heard from me in all the faith and love which are for us in Christ Jesus. Guard and keep with the greatest care the precious and excellently adapted truth which has been entrusted to you by the help of the Holy Spirit, who makes his home in us. We are spirit, and we are led of the Spirit of God. We are not to be led by our soul, by our emotions, by our circumstances. You know the end of that is confusion and failure and defeat and depression. And if I'm identifying some things you're dealing with, then you know what has to change. You want your circumstances to change, but what needs to change is your heart. Your heart being fixed, trusting in the Lord. And what have we already established? The heart that trusts in the Lord, the heart that's fixed, is not afraid. Amen? Amen. That's out of the Amplified. I want to read this same passage to you out of the Passion. 2 Timothy 1, verse 12. The confidence of my calling enables me to overcome every difficulty without shame. For I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me. I like that. For I have an intimate revelation of this God, and my faith in him convinces me that He is more than able to keep all that I've placed in His hands safe and secure until the fullness of His appearing. Allow the healing words you've heard from me to live in you and make them a model for life as your faith and love for the Anointed One grows even more. Guard well this incomparable treasure by the Holy Spirit of holiness living within you. Isn't that good? Amen. There are six things that I found in Psalm 112 that indicates the fixed, established heart. Number one, we read it in verse 7. The established heart trusts in the Lord. Amen. The established heart trusts in the Lord. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We're in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. There again, are you identifying with that? Do you say when you don't know what to do, are you saying, I trust in the Lord with all of my heart and I do not lean to my own understanding. I acknowledge Him in all my ways and He directs my path. You see, when we begin to say what God says, He begins to make what He has said come to pass in our lives. Amen? But you got to say what God says. You can't say what you feel and get a different result. Right? You can't keep saying, I'm so depressed. I'm so depressed. Guess what? You're going to keep being depressed. You think that happiness is going to pop out suddenly? No. You keep saying, I'm so depressed. I'm just so depressed. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm just so depressed. Well, there's a way to fix that. No, it's not a pill. What about that rudder? What about that rudder turning the ship? Some of our ships are pretty big and pretty hard to turn. But that same little rudder will change the course of your life if you will change the words of your mouth and agree with God. Amen? Amen. So the person who has their heart fixed and established trusts in the Lord. Verses 5 and 6 there in Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That's all part of trusting the Lord. Number 2 in Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. The fixed heart is not given to fear. The fixed heart is not given to fear. And how many times have we quoted it, and I have quoted it and taught it in the ladies' Bible study for almost 2 years. 2 Timothy 1:7, say it. For God... Yes! Yes! The person who trusts in the Lord is not given to fear. They remember, the established heart remembers, I don't care what's been said to me. I trust in the Lord. God didn't give me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Amen. Number 3. The fixed heart will never be shaken. You find that in verse 6 of Psalm 112. It says, surely He will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. We all know people that it doesn't matter how big or how small their opposition is. They just go in a flitter over nothing. And you want to just rattle them and say, really, come on, snap out of it. You're okay. Why? They're shaking at every little thing. Every little thing that comes along. Every little thing that happens. Every little thing that's said. Every little thing that's done. They're shaking. But the fixed, established heart, they're not moved. They're not moved. Why? Because they're living by their spirit. Kenneth and I, we're not masters, but we're way ahead of where we were 40 years ago. We live by our spirit. I listen to the Spirit of God all the time. He listens to the Spirit of God all the time. I'm constantly searching. I've got my radar going constantly on the inside of me. I'm listening constantly to what the Spirit of God has to say on the inside of me. Be amazed at what God will give you the heads up on. Even the other day, I was going to Kerrville, praying in the Holy Ghost. And this is just one of many, 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 many instances, but praying in the Holy Ghost. And he spoke to me, and he said, so-and-so is going to call you and ask you to pray for her husband. Okay. Well, that was about 10 o'clock that morning. And about 4:30 that afternoon, lo and behold, if I didn't get a text, is there any way y'all could come to San Angelo and pray for my husband? Sure, let me get back from Kerrville, and we'll be right there. So we got to San Angelo about, 8:30 that night, and went in, and her husband was receptive, allowed us to lay hands on him and pray, because what the doctors have told him, it's not good. But his wife is believing for a miracle. It's only wise to agree with her. It's only good to agree with her. Amen? And the anointing of God flowed through us to him. And they sent him home from the hospital because there's not one thing that can be done for him in the hospital. Not one thing can be done for him. But I still know the anointing. And I know what the Spirit of God said. And I said to him that night, I said, don't you think God's got your number? Don't you think he knows what's going on with you? Why would he tell me at 10 o'clock this morning that we're going to come over here tonight and pray for you? You don't think God wasn't working on that? He's still working on it. Amen? Amen. Amen. So the heart that is fixed will never be shaken. Number four. You see this in verse 1, first part of verse 1. The heart that is fixed fears the Lord. You would rather die than not fulfill the will of God. That, in a nutshell, is the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is not my will, but yours be done. You've heard us tell the stories, and I could stand here the rest of the night and tell you stories of times I fought the will of God because I didn't want to do it. I just didn't want to do it. I didn't like it. Didn't feel good. People were mean to me. And they said mean things and they did mean things and they didn't like me. And I didn't want to. And I told God I didn't want to. But when it gets right down to it, God, more than anything, as bad as I don't want to do this, more than anything, I don't want to go against your will. I don't want to grieve the Spirit of God. That is the fear of the Lord. I remember the day after me begging God, both of us. Oh, we were the most pitiful, whiny, complaining. Oh, it was awful. You've heard us tell it, but we got up one morning and we started our morning ritual of whining and complaining and why God, why, and when God, when, and how God, how, and please God, please, and stomping our foot and throwing a fit. And And I just told him, I said, I'm so sick of hearing us. I'm so sick of listening to us. I'm so sick of this. I can't stand it. I can't do this. Not another day.
I was disappointed. I was kind of enjoying it.
I'm sorry y'all didn't get invited, but it was the biggest pity party that has ever been thrown anywhere.
Cake and ice cream.
Well, I did better for a while, but then it wasn't too many weeks or months, however long it was. And I was sitting out in my Shiloh. Back then, Shiloh was pretty pitiful. It wasn't all that pretty. It was a swing and dirt and rocks. And so it was the beginning stages of Shiloh. And I was sitting out in the swing, and one more time, God, please, 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 if it's in your will anyway, anywhere, please let me move from Menard, please. And he spoke to me in a very stern, fatherly voice. He said, where do you want to go? I changed my mind. Never mind. Never mind. No. Because I knew he was going to let me have my way. And it scared me. And I thought, he's going to let me move. But as sure as the world, I'm stepping outside his will and I'm on my own. That's not someplace I want to go. No, thank you. And I started backpedaling right now, and I started repenting right now. The person that has their heart fixed fears the Lord. You'd rather die than not fulfill the will of God for your life. We're almost done. Number 5, the heart that is fixed. This is verse 1, the second part. Delights greatly in the Lord. Can anyone quote Psalm 1 to me? Blessed is the man. Come on, Francis, you know it. That walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Planted? Uh-huh. Will bring forth fruit in its season, and his leaf also shall not wither. And everything he does, what? Will prosper. People, go home and meditate on that psalm alone and change your life. Amen? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, my delight, the fixed heart delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law do I meditate day and night. And I am like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in my season, and my leaf will not wither, and everything I do will prosper. But what does it say at the end of that chapter? Read it to me, somebody. Read it to me, what it says about the wicked. What does it say about the person who has not fixed their heart on the Lord? Somebody, please tell me, what does it say? Nobody's looking at your Bible. Robert? That doesn't sound good, does it? That just doesn't end well, does it? I don't believe I'll go that way. I believe I'll fix my heart on the Lord. One more, and we'll be done. Number 6. This is verses 4 and 5 in Psalm 112. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. You tired of the dark? You hate the dark? Turn the light on. Amen. Turn the light on. Pardon? Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. This is verse 4, Psalm 112. He is gracious. Now this is the person with the fixed heart, with the established heart. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Number six, the fixed heart operates in grace, mercy, compassion, and righteousness. At all costs, the fixed heart will do what's right. Swear to your own hurt. The established heart would rather take the fall and take the blame than step out of grace, to step out of love, to step outside of compassion. Lamentations 3, most of you probably say it every day. His compassions do not fail. His mercies are new. Great is His faithfulness. Is your heart established in that? Are you still trying to figure out what you want to believe? Are you still trying to figure out what you want to believe? Then you haven't gotten into the Word of God. You haven't opened your Bible and found out what God had to say if you're still trying to figure out what to believe. Because you start studying your Bible, you can't get enough of it. You can't get enough, right, Pam? You can't get enough. Because it feeds your spirit. Why? Because I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have, and I can do what it says I can do. This is my Bible. It is about me. It is for me. It is to me. I get into it, and it gets into me. I read it, and it reads me. Establish your heart in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will direct your path. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Receive this for ourselves. So just simply say, Lord, I receive it. Whew, there's the anointing right there. Lift your hands to the Lord and say, Lord, I receive it. This was to me. This was for me. I thank you, Lord. And I receive it. I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I do not lean to my own understanding. I acknowledge you in all my ways. And you direct my path. I cast the whole of my care over on you, Lord. Because you care for me. And I trust you. For I know whom I have believed. And I am fully and completely persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed to Him. My life is yours, Lord. I commit to you. I submit to you. I am yours. And you are mine. My life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I belong to Christ. Amen. Amen.